Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Tuesday, November 30th. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher. We are here to break down a very calm, easy five-game NBA slate coming off of yesterday's nine-gamer, where it felt like we had the most news that we've had in a while. A lot of guys ruled in or out, a lot of question marks going into lock. Ultimately, didn't work out all that well for me, but what are you going to do? Ended up squandering a lot of JoVal, and that kind of bums me out, but it happens. Before we do anything, please hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live, and make sure you're giving a shout out to the presenting sponsor of this show. That would be No House Advantage. Adam, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, yesterday felt like a pretty... Yesterday was pretty crazy. It was, I don't even know if it was the most news. It was just like the latest we've gotten it. And I think The staggered start time helped with that, where it was just like, oh, okay, you know, these lineups are done. And then it's like, oh, well, this just happened. I ended up just completely skipping the first game to try and maximize how much news I had. Still didn't really make much of a difference, because all that meant was I got to get to a lot of TJ McConnell, who scored like half a fantasy point per minute at no ownership. So that was great. But yeah, it was definitely a different slate.
Yeah, I messaged you at that time. Mo Bamba had just finished his game. He had north of 50 fantasy points on FanDuel. I had like 12 or 13%. He was under a percentage point owned. And it was totally meaningless that Mo Bamba had that day on FanDuel, because 10 other centers went crazy. And at that point in time, JoVal hadn't even tipped off yet. And he ended up being the actual guy that you needed more than anything. Really didn't matter. You might have had too much TJ McConnell. I certainly had too much Taurean Prince, which I told you, and you were like, I didn't really get to anything, and that sucks. Turns out that worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah.
Because he had, I think, like an assist and two rebounds or something real shit in 22 minutes. What an ass.
Yeah, I loved how you and I were talking, you know, during the slate, and I looked, I'm like, holy shit, like Lu Dort was a good play on DraftKings, but how is he almost 30% owned? And then naturally my best lineup ends up with Lu Dort's like terrible game that I was rooting for the entire night.
And then... I still can't believe that Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. both got to 50-something, 51% ownership in the big contest on FanDuel. I mentioned it to you when we were talking. I don't even know how you project that for ownership. Like, we were low on that. I don't know how you ever get to that number. Like, I don't know what I would have had to do to have that make even like a semblance of sense. I didn't expect it at all. Something in the 30s seemed about right. They seemed like the best plays. They're in half of every single lineup that was made. That's nuts.
Yeah. I think we've seen that a decent amount this year, where it's like a couple of guys just end up being like crazy popular. I don't know that there's a whole lot you can do, you know, unless you just somehow account for, you know, like the most popular guys being even more popular than we expect. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, a function of more people using projections, more people, knowing how to optimize lineups, but not doing anything other than like more or less optimizing lineups. So, I mean, like directionally, it still works, you know, like, but yeah, there's been a few situations like that this year. It happened on the previous slate on DraftKings with those two. It was like, oh, they're going to be popular. And I was like, oh, they are 50% owned.
And it doesn't help at all when that also smashes. Right. Like Christian Wood was great. Kevin Porter Jr. was very good at the very least. Like neither of those two situations. Naturally, if I know that those guys are going to be 50% owned, like I'm probably not even close to that. I was under on Porter when I thought he was 30 something. I was neutral on Wood when I thought he was 30 something. or I was over on Wood when I thought he was 30 something. I ended up neutral. We ended up seeing Wood go for 59 fantasy points across both sites. And then we saw, do you remember how many? I'm having trouble finding.
Porter has 49 on DraftKings.
Okay. 44 and a half, maybe?
44 and a half what?
Wow, fantasy. I thought it was 44 and a half. No, it doesn't matter. Either way.
At least according to
two great games. 49. Two great games.
Yeah.
And at 50% ownership, like you got to have it at that point in time, or at least it's going to make a huge difference for you when in all actuality.
It might have been 44 and a half FanDuel. It was 49 DK.
Okay. I look at those situations. It's like, yeah, I like just on the surface, I want to be under the field on those numbers. That's just too high for a 9-game slate with so many different comparable plays. If Chalk is just going to smash like that, I'm going to have a real problem every single day.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's not even like, it's not even that, I don't know about you. Like for me, I was a little bit under the field on Wood. I was a little bit over on Porter, but it just makes it so hard to win anyway. And that's kind of why, you know, that's the whole reason we talk about ownership. It's you can have those guys, and when they do well, it's still just really hard to win because everybody has them. Like the slates that I win on are typically going to be the ones where those guys suck, and then someone like McConnell goes for 40, or, you know, in your case, Joval goes for 70, but not with Wood and Porter scoring 100.
Yep. Yeah. Like it really just blocks you out and makes it so difficult. It turns every lineup into a 7v7 or an 8v8, depending on which one we're now 7 or 6, actually, depending on which site we're playing on.
Yeah.
And it's hard to come back from that.
And I've talked about it with you. Me and Alex kind of talked about it yesterday too. I don't really mind that trend of the chalk becoming really concentrated in some spots. I think that it's going to make things really swingy. Like obviously tournaments are, you have big swings anyway. I think it's going to make it even more so as that trend becomes bigger, but the more concentrated chalk becomes, the more playing contrarian pays off. So,
yeah. Oh, I'm happy about it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a trade-off. Like it makes it even harder to cash. It makes it so that, the field's making less mistakes in terms of rostering bad players, but it's also kind of just giving you, essentially it's giving you low ownership on better players. Instead of, Wood 25% and then the next best player 15, if you're going to take Wood at 40% and make the next best player 5, like that's fine to me from a tournament standpoint, even though it's going to make for, some really rough nights.
Yep. It is certainly going to make for some really rough nights. That is a very true statement. Let's go ahead and dive into this slate. And for one, I love the makeup of it. Two games start at 7:30, three games start at 10. You don't have to prepare for 7:30 and then enjoy the rest of your night, eat some dinner, take a break. You have 2 full hours where you don't really have to pay attention to anything, at which point you're going to want to get back and do some swaps or whatever it is you need to do. At the very least, check into your highest projected lineups and maybe move some stuff around depending on what was going well. But this is the way that I want a slate to happen, where I don't have to be last night was awful. You had to be married to your desk every half hour on the hour until 9 o'clock. That sucks sometimes, yeah. Especially, I mean, I recrunched a lot. I have I have any idea what my stuff looked like to start any longer. It was a completely different slate 2 hours in.
Yeah. I messaged you at 8 and was like, well, this was a trust the process slate, 'cause I have no idea what I had or have or anything. Yeah. But yeah, plus tonight you get a 3-game night slate, which is always nice when it's more than 2 games.
There we go. Well, I'm ready to dive in if you are.
Yep.
All righty. First game up on the docket. It's going to be a fun one. The New York Knicks, 6.5-point dogs in Brooklyn, 216 total. And the big piece of news that came out of yesterday is that Kemba Walker is no longer a part of the New York Knicks rotation. The starting point guard for the Knicks is now going to be Alec Burks. But we have a few questionable tags here, including RJ Barrett, Derrick Rose, Nerlens Noel, and Taj Gibson. That's fun. Alec Burks now should be playing some pretty big minutes. We're going to have that conversation in a second. For Brooklyn, still no Kyrie Irving, which it's really hard to say without laughing. Nick Claxton still out for 3 more games. And then we got the news yesterday that Joe Harris had surgery, going to be out for probably 6 weeks, something in that neighborhood. So let's start here. First and foremost, with the New York Knicks and with newly minted point guard Alec Burks, 6,200 on FanDuel, 5,600 on DraftKings. He's the highest owned guy across both sites. My question to you is this, and it's going to be a little bit more expanded. How many minutes are you expecting for Alec Burks? And then what are you expecting from a relationship for who is the direct backup for point guards? How much are you expecting to see Quickly and Rose out there? This is going to move some stuff around.
Yeah, I'm I'm not really confident in a lot of it because I don't know exactly what the rotation is going to look like here, because we know Burks can play multiple positions is the thing. So
yeah,
what we've seen from Tibbs mostly is most guys have a direct backup. You have had Kemba Walker and Derrick Rose at point. You had Fournier and Quickly. You had Barrett and Burks. You have Randall and Toppin. You have Robinson and Noel or Gibson, whoever happens to be healthy. I don't know if that changes now. Does Derrick Rose sub in for Burks and then Burks comes back in for Fournier and Quickly loses minutes, or, you know, Burks comes back in for Barrett and they just run a tighter rotation? I think that is certainly possible, in which case that is great for Alec Burks and you're probably looking at like 36 minutes a night. If it's just Burks and Rose, then, you know, it's kind of the same thing as we've had, except you're replacing Kemba Walker with Alec Burks. There's going to be nights where Rose plays 28 and Burks plays 20. There's going to be vice versa. I think it's likely that you see Burks play multiple positions just based on how he's been used at times. And the fact that part of Tibbs' reasoning that I saw for benching Walker was that you can't really play lineups with multiple small guards when Kemba is one of them. So it kind of sounded like, and I think he might have even said he wanted to run tighter rotations. It sounds like you could just get somebody kicked out of the rotation and Alec Burks playing a ton of minutes now. Like Kemba kicked out.
Instead of having a 10-man rotation, you're thinking it could just be nine now?
Right. So like once everybody's healthy, instead of, you know, Quentin Grimes play or Miles McBride playing 12 minutes or something, you just kick those guys out and Alec Burks plays 36 a night. I think that's where I'm leaning until we see something different. So I think Burks is playing a lot of minutes. If Rose is out, I'm confident Burks is playing a ton of minutes regardless.
Yeah.
But you know, obviously we won't really know until we see it, but I think it's likely that you see something like Alec Burks start, sub out at, let's say, the 6 minute mark, and then he subs back in 4 minutes later for RJ Barrett and plays with the second unit, you know, something like that, which would be great for him.
So let's hash out the minutes of the guards. We're talking Burks 30 to 34.
It might be more, but that's a good point to project him at, I think. Okay. Not knowing exactly how it's going to look.
Okay. That works for me.
I think, I guess I'm saying like that's, I think you should project him in that range, assuming Rose is in, but that there's a chance that you come back and say, okay, well, no, he's 37 going forward, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. I think it's really hard to want to go anywhere north of 34 on Burks today.
Right.
I don't think that we have that kind of information to make that sort of stance. Quickly, to me, is the one that I understand the least. I don't really feel like this is going to impact Derrick Rose all that much. If he's playing well, I figure he is the guy that gets to like 30 minutes, but generally he's just, I don't think they're going to run him into the ground. And they've had such a successful second unit that I'm not entirely sure they want to break that up all that much either.
So, another reason why I think Burks plays with the second unit.
Yeah. So I went to 24 on Rose. That felt about right to me. And I went to 24 on Quickly. That's the one that I don't totally trust, but I also don't know if it matters.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a good chance you just see 48 minutes between 48 and Quickly. If everybody's in.
Like a 26-22 split, something like that?
Yeah. Or, you know, if Quickly's playing well, 48 plays 22, but...
Sure. What do you like then
thinking
for the Knicks?
Would be,
yeah, go ahead.
The way I'm kind of thinking it is, so let's say 24 minutes for Rose. So then the other 24 point guard minutes go to Burks. Let's say Fournier plays 26 and Quickly plays 22. Let's say Barrett plays 36. The other 12 go to Burks. So that puts Burks at 36 also, which is certainly doable. Then you get Randall and Toppin splitting 48. You get Noel.
Whatever
Robinson,
the centers do. Yeah, who gives a shit about the centers?
Yeah, that's how I think it plays out.
Feels about right. And we're for sure getting Quentin Grimes for 14 minutes today.
Right. And I mean, but it also could play out where like Fournier and Quickly don't have to split 48. You could get Fournier subbing in for Barrett.
Yeah. But they can really move the 1, 2, and 3 around in sort of any order that they want to.
Right. Exactly. But just kind of trying to think about how his rotation patterns have been this year and, you know, the fact that when everyone was healthy, Fournier wasn't even playing in the fourth quarter. I think it's likely that Burks is the one that gets those minutes.
Okay. Ultimately, the prices aren't in any real spots where I think you need to go crazy for it. Like, clearly, if Burks is in this new role, he's going to be a couple hundred dollars underpriced, and that's just going to come up. But everybody else is sort of status quo? Like, do you like anything from the Knicks that isn't Alec Burks?
No, it's kind of more of the same. You know, obviously this can change if Barrett's out and if Rose is out or whatever, you're giving more minutes to some of these guys. But assuming that they're in, you know, Randall's 9,400, so that salary's come down a little bit. He looks good. I wouldn't say he looks great, but he looks like a good option. Burks, like you said, a little bit underpriced. Barrett is, to me, exactly the same as he has been. Derrick Rose is exactly the same as he has been. He's 4,300, so if he plays 24 minutes, he's probably fine, but won't matter. If he happens to play well and get 28 minutes, he probably helps you win a tournament. If he only plays 18 minutes, you're in trouble. So, you know, just a really volatile but cheap play. Fournier is basically, I think, what he has been. If everybody's healthy, you know, likely to play mid-20s. Quickly at 4,800, I think is a pretty tough one to get to.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah. If Rose is in, if Rose is out, then maybe, but
He's 4,100 point guard shooting guard on FanDuel. A little bit easier to get there for quickly.
Yeah, still would depend on Rose and Barrett's status though. Like if they're in, it's still, he could get there at that price, but it's still pretty risky, I think. But yeah, it's kind of just mostly what it has been. You know, Derrick Rose in tournaments is fine. Barrett and Randall are fine. Burks probably looks the best, assuming that, you know, again, assuming that I'm at least close to correct on how this rotation is going to look. He obviously is overpriced if this means he's going to just split 48 minutes with Derrick Rose, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah, my expectation is that they go to the 9-man rotation. Doesn't feel like a spot where they're going to be going to 10. That would make the most sense to me. But that's the place that we needed to hash out the most, for sure.
What's the point of kicking Kemba Walker out if you're just going to replace him with like McBride or Grimes?
I agree. I mean, I wouldn't have kicked Kemba out of the rotation either, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't. But it's just like, I don't know, like because the Knicks aren't at a point where they're not saying, okay, like our season is lost. Kemba's not going to play anymore. We're going to get the young guys in. They're saying we think Kemba's playing poorly. We want these better guys to play more. So to me, logically, they just cut that spot out of the rotation.
All right. Anything else you want to touch on here for the Knicks?
No, I think that's about everything I have to say about them.
Yeah, that works for me. On the Brooklyn side, this one's pretty easy, although that's another team where we have some rotational questions. We haven't seen Blake Griffin play the past two games.
He's out of the rotation.
My assumption, but at least it gets a little wonky after that.
So, and the reason I say that, you know, obviously he could play, but he commented on being out of the rotation. Like they asked him about it, and he basically was just like, yeah, you have to, you know, take it professionally. I learned from DeAndre Jordan last year. I actually talked to him a couple of days ago. So it sounds like this is like a planned thing where like, hey, Blake, you're not playing anymore. And he's reaching out to DeAndre Jordan like, dude, how do I deal with this? It doesn't sound like, hey, you're going to play some nights. You're not going to play other nights.
Yeah. The only reason that I was concerned was really just the status of Bruce Brown, who didn't play two games and then played 4.5 minutes their most recent game. So I don't know how fully healthy he is. We saw Javon Carter's minutes go down into 3 minutes this last time out. And we're slowly but surely getting to a point where like they're running out of dudes to give minutes to, because I don't get the sense that Kevin Durant's going to be playing 45 every time out there. Harden played 40 the last time out. There's just a lot of, like, Bembry got to 35. There's a lot of minutes to go around where I feel like they do have enough to get like a rotation and a half for someone like Blake. Not that he matters for today. It shouldn't matter at all. The guys that matter the most, James Harden is 30% owned on FanDuel where he's 10K. I am more than happy to pay that price tag for him. Harden and Durant, a little bit harder to get to on DraftKings. They're about 10 to 15% owned. The other guy pulling ownership, LaMarcus Aldridge, 5,700 on DraftKings. He's 20% owned. 6,100 on FanDuel. He's 24% owned. I'm not entirely sure I want to get to a lot of Aldridge, but I mean, at least the minutes are up. I just don't know how up they're going to be. What all do you see from Brooklyn?
I think Aldridge looks really good. He's played 251 minutes alongside James Harden this year. He's averaged 1.2 DraftKings points per minute in those minutes. With Harden and Durant both on, he's played 161 minutes. He's at 1.12 DraftKings points per minute. So he's not really someone that you're looking at a massive drop off when he's in the starting lineup. He's still producing with both guys on the floor. And then obviously some of his time is just alongside Harden when Durant goes to the bench. So I still think he looks good. He played 28 minutes last game in only three quarters. You've seen his minutes, you know, up in general. He clearly physically is capable of playing 30 plus minutes. We've seen that a couple of times recently. So I still really like getting to Aldridge there. 5,700 on DraftKings. You know, yeah, he is a center, but it's only a 5-game slate. Even if he only plays 26 to 28 minutes, he's likely to give you a good enough score at that salary. And there's nothing preventing him from playing more. I mean, over his last five games, 30, 23, 34, 29, 28. I think it's pretty reasonable to think he plays around 30 minutes.
Okay. I have him in for 28 right now, and I think that was fine for me. Yeah. 30 is also very reasonable and certainly could end up there as we move forward. What do we do with the rest of these guys? Because the people that stand out to the most to me aren't pulling any ownership. What about 2% owned Bruce Brown, shooting guard, small forward eligible? I mean, I don't know his total status at this moment, but it appears that he is just in and I'm assuming okay and ready to go. I think he's a fantastic play today at 3,800 if he's not owned. What about James Johnson, 4,300, unowned? Like, is that, or 3,400 rather, unowned? Is that interesting? Because to me, those two guys look like the best GPP plays on this team.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're super risky, obviously. Bruce Brown played 5 minutes last game. James Johnson played 27 minutes, but that's another one where, like, Aldridge didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. If Aldridge Aldridge plays in the fourth, you're getting less minutes most likely from Johnson. But if nobody's going to roster them, then there's appeal. I think a little bit more interested in Johnson just because I think there is that path to minutes for him.
He's played 25 minutes in his last five games.
Right. Yeah. So that's why I feel a little bit better about him. If Brown comes off the bench, it's scary to me because that's basically them just choosing to play Bembry ahead of him. If they put him back in the starting lineup ahead of Bembry, then obviously that changes. But I'm pretty concerned about Brown's playing time if he comes off the bench.
Okay. Yeah. I don't see that's where it gets tricky because like I can very easily give Bruce Brown and DeAndre Bembry a lot of minutes and still have a lot of minutes left over.
Yeah. But like if Bruce Brown plays 24 minutes, why do I want Bruce Brown?
Shooting guard, small forward, 3,800 on a 5-game slate.
Yeah.
No ownership. I mean, like, I'm not saying that becomes amazing or anything, but as far as value goes, that looks pretty good to me.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, playing off the bench is a little bit better for him, although you still have one of Harden or Durant out there, but his per minute production should go up. So yeah, I mean, it's not anything I'm going crazy with, but I get what you're saying. Like we don't have a good feel for the secondary pieces in this Brooklyn rotation. They can change at any point, you know, between anybody basically that's not named Aldridge, Durant, Harden, Mills.
I think the easiest way to say it is this: Bruce Brown, James Johnson, and DeAndre Bembry are all 2% or less on DraftKings. I'd like to have one of them.
Sure.
Like, I'm not entirely confident I know which one it is, but as far as value goes for this particular slate on a 5-gamer in GPPs, one of those guys is going to be a better play than a 2%er. They kind of just have to be. Or Blake Griffin and De'Ron Sharp and Kessler Edwards are playing today.
Yeah, I think that makes some sense.
Like, somebody has to fall into 28 minutes or 30 minutes or something like that. The last game out, it was Bembry playing 35, James Johnson getting 27, and Bruce Brown playing 5. Not what I expect, but somebody's got to get it.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest risk is that those all just flatten out. Or that Bembry is the one that plays a lot again, and he's 4,300, which isn't really that useful anyway.
Yeah. Still a great value, though, if you projecting Bembry for 30 minutes. Maybe great's not the right word, but like one of the better point per dollar plays if he's projected for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
It's just to me, it's hard. It's really hard. I don't have anything to really say about Patty Mills. He's like the easiest guy to not care about.
But he's also the one I'm most confident in this playing time.
Yep. Absolutely. Obviously ignoring Harden and Durant, but yeah, right. I mean, I got him in for 34 minutes. It could be more. But he's still a 10% season
for Mills. Make sure they're with Harden and Durant. Five starts with both Harden and Durant. 0.72 DraftKings points per minute, 34.5 minutes per game.
Yep, that looks good. Anything else you want to touch on here for Brooklyn?
Pay attention to your rules. You know, I agree with what you're saying where there's volatility in like the Brown, Bembry, Johnson minutes to where one of them probably ends up looking like a decent value. But that volatility is also coming from each other. It's unlikely that they're taking minutes really from Mills, Aldridge, Durant, Harden. So pay attention to who you're
Max
pairing
one.
In lineups together. What?
Max one?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. All right, that works. Schedule for the rest of the day. NFL strategy show coming up after this, 11 a.m. It's the NFL first look. 2 p.m., we've got the NHL strategy show. 3 p.m., the No House Advantage NBA show. We've got the NBA deeper dive at 5:30. Adam will be back for that. NBA Live Before Lock at 6:30. We've also got NBA ownership projections free today and our NHL player projections free. So good day for free stuff all around. Let's move it over to Memphis and Toronto. This is going to be a fun one to talk about. Memphis, 4.5-point dogs in Toronto, 219 total. Clearly, we know this much. Memphis will be without Ja Morant for now and for the significant future. Zaire Williams also questionable. On the Toronto side, Q tag on Gary Trent, which is pretty important, but I still like Toronto either way. No OG Anunoby, no Kem Birch, no Dragic gone for a little bit. Let's talk Memphis, where we've got Tyus Jones in the starting lineup, 20% owned on DraftKings at 5,200, 34% owned on FanDuel at 4,600. Jaren Jackson is pulling 15 to 25% ownership, depending on the site. Dylan Brooks is 8% owned on DK, where he's 7K, 30% owned on FanDuel, where he's 5,800. I think Desmond Bane looks pretty interesting. There's a lot to like here for Memphis with no Ja.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, it's not a great spot against Toronto, but there's just a lot of minutes, a lot of usage, everything available. Tyus Jones at 5,200 still looks pretty good. He only played about 23.5 minutes last game, but that was a game where they just absolutely destroyed the Kings and he didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. Looking at his first half rotations, he played about 15.5 minutes. So I think it's likely if this game's close, you're getting 30 to 32 minutes from Jones, which is fine. So he looks pretty good. Dylan Brooks, 7K is expensive, but there is plenty of usage and he will gladly take it. But, you know, that's still a pretty healthy price tag. Same goes for Bane at 6K. He's been really good this year. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I saw a stat on Twitter. It was like he's one of like four players in the league that has X amount of three-pointers made, is shooting X percentage and one other thing. And like the other guys in that group were just like four stars. And then Desmond Bane, like he's having a great year, but he's also 6K. So it's kind of tough to, you know, expect him to really smash that price tag. I think for me, Jones, Jackson is still reasonably priced, but then Kyle Anderson at 4,400 with the potential to play a little bit more. Steven Adams at 4,300, not the safest play because of his minutes, but certainly has a path to success. And the same can be said for Brandon Clark. Some negative correlation between Adams and Clark because of playing time.
I assume you'd be more than happy to get to Brooks for 5,800 shooting guard small forward on FanDuel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Here's the question. How many minutes does Dylan Brooks play today? I gave him 32.
I think that's reasonable. It really, I think, depends on like how many, what's his conditioning like, which is
right. I mean, he has not played that yet. 31 is his ceiling right. So far this season.
Yeah, gotta get there. First half last game, he played about 6 minutes and then about 6 minutes, so 12, and then about 3 minutes, so 15, which would like he was on pace for 30. I think like there's going to be a game where Dylan Brooks just goes out there and plays 38, but we haven't seen anything close to that yet.
I don't really have too much else to add other than the fact that like most of Memphis is in play.
Yeah. I will say DraftKings did a pretty, they priced a lot of these guys pretty aggressively. You know, like yeah. DeAnthony Melton benefits from Morant being out as well, but he went from 3,700 to 5,100 overnight. So it kind of on DraftKings to me, it's not even about figuring out who you like, you don't have to spend a lot of time on DraftKings figuring out the rotations because it's kind of just like, okay, we shot Dylan Brooks to the moon. We shot Desmond Bane to the moon. We priced up Melton. We didn't do anything to Steven Adams or Kyle Anderson. We barely touched Jaren Jackson. So it kind of DraftKings pricing just sort of dictates it all.
Yeah. FanDuel made it a little bit harder to get away with Brooks being 30% owned, Tyus being 34, Jaren Jackson already at 25. A lot of ownership to go around here. Apparently Cantor going to the game. Said Brooks going to have some family in the crowd tonight, including myself. That's fun.
Oh, I thought you meant Ennis. I was like, isn't he still employed by an NBA team?
That's not his last name anymore.
Oh yeah. Freedom.
Yeah. something like that. And then we get to Toronto. Very clearly the most interesting team on this slate. We've got to wait at least on Gary Trent's ownership, but I'm just going to go average ownership for these guys across both sites. Van Vliet, 25. Siakam, 35 on FanDuel, 14 on DraftKings is a big gap. Scotty Barnes is 30% owned on FanDuel, 18% on DraftKings. Gary Trent, if in, projected for 20% ownership. Precious Achiuwa is the best play of the day, 40% owned across both sites. The starting five for Toronto looks incredible. And if for some reason Gary Trent happens to be out, you just put Svi Mykhailiuk into the same discussion that I just had. I am smashing Toronto today.
Yeah, I didn't realize Achiuwa played 36 and a half minutes last game, and now I'm even more pissed that I had like 60% of him and he somehow hurt me. But yeah, he looks great still. He's cheap. He's, you know, around a 0.9 fantasy point per minute guy. Know basically everybody that would take minutes from him. So he looks really good. I'm with you. The starters all look good. They are priced up a bit on DraftKings. 8,700 for Van Vliet, 85 for Siakam. Even Barnes is up to 7K. Those guys are all reasonable, but I think it's really Achiuwa that stands out at 4,400. If Trent is in at 5,400, he looks like the second best value to me. If he's out, then Mykhailiuk looks like the second best value at 3,800.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, this is it. It's so great that it's five guys from Toronto, whether it's Trent or Mykhailiuk, I don't care which one. And then you could just draw a line through everyone else. Like, you're either fully playable or not. We already got the question, can Boucher hit tonight? He's not going to play. At least that's the expectation. Chris Boucher is not a thing for Toronto. Like, basically ever. I would not be expecting Chris Boucher to be anything of value today.
I mean, they're not missing anybody that they weren't missing last game, and Boucher didn't step on the floor.
Yeah. Doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Isak Bonga cracked the rotation. Yeah. Watanabe played 14 minutes.
It's nuts. So what do you do from a group's perspective for Toronto? Or do you do nothing? I would probably do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I would lean toward nothing because the guys that you would be setting groups for, you're not getting to anyway. Like, obviously, I don't want more than one of Watanabe or Bongo, but I also don't want more than zero of Watanabe or Bongo. The guys that matter, I mean, Trent, Achiuwa, Trent or Mykhailiuk, depending on who's in the starting lineup, Achiuwa, Barnes, Siakam, Van Vliet, none of those guys matter to each other in terms of minutes.
Michael Roundtree, they don't need to free Boucher. Nobody cares about Chris Boucher other than people that play fantasy. He's not particularly good, and he's 28 years old. He's exactly what he should be, basically a backup at best.
Yeah, he was one of the weirder ones where – so I was really, really wrong when Christian Wood broke out, and everyone, like, fell in love with Christian Wood, and I was just like, this is stupid. It's just a DFS guy that isn't any good. And then he actually ended up being good. But, like, for every Christian Wood exception that comes out of nowhere, there's a million Bouchers where, like, everybody decides they're just, like – this completely slept on, overlooked by like eight different teams guy. And yeah, no, he's just not very good.
Yeah, no. I mean, I know why Kemba Walker's out of the rotation, Gene Smith. I don't think they should have. He's doing exactly what everyone expected Kemba Walker to do. If you expected something different for the first 20 games, then you shouldn't assign Kemba Walker in the first place. I think it's an indictment on what they did coming into this season. He's shooting 41% from three. Like, he's doing Kemba Walker shit. I don't know, but I don't know what kind of like fountain of youth they expected to dip him in before he got to New York, but like, this is what we're going to see. Then don't pay him the mid-level exception for multiple years.
Mongo asked about setting groups for Bain and Brooks. I don't think it's a bad idea. I probably won't do it. The reason being that like, I'm not going to get to a lot of them anyway. They don't affect each other's minutes, I don't think. What it does affect is, you know, if Dylan Brooks chucks 30 shots, Desmond Bane isn't shooting and vice versa. But I don't anticipate really getting – they're expensive enough on DraftKings. I don't think I really get to them together much anyway. And if it does happen a little bit, I don't really care. Normally when I set groups, it's more so about guys that won't close together because even guys that cut into each other's usage, there's still games where, you know, the game plays faster than normal or whatever, something weird happens, they both can still get there if you're just worried about them cutting into stats. I really set groups based on minutes, and I think they both should be fine there.
Yeah. Jeff B says, explain Bol Bol to me then, please. Dude's a beast and never gets to play. He's not, not a beast, and he'll never play a legitimate minute in the NBA.
Also on a team that just has a bunch of dudes ahead of him. But
yeah, but, you know, there's a reason that he wasn't drafted well. And
yeah, there's a reason the Nuggets brought in Jeff Green instead of elevating Bol Bol.
Yeah, Michael, they don't need to trade him because no one wants to trade for Chris Boucher. He has no value in the league whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, nobody, he was just bouncing
around. He's a DNP on one of the smartest organizations in basketball.
Behind like four different guys. Like,
yeah,
they just play everybody else ahead of him.
Yeah. All righty. Anything else here for Memphis or Toronto?
No, I think that's it.
Samuel, I don't think it's harsh. Bol Bol will never play a legitimate minute in the NBA. He just won't. I don't know why we would expect him to do anything other than not play and wash out of the league. He was the 44th pick in the draft. Dude wasn't a lottery pick. Everybody passed on him more than once. No House Advantage is the presenting sponsor of this show. And this is going to be very different because you're not worried about like optimizers. I mean, you do want to optimize your lineup, but it's not going to be the same situation for fantasy points. We're talking about peer-to-peer prop-based contests. They've got over 500 props that are offered for you. New users can get a $25 deposit bonus when you use the promo code AWESOMO. There's big prize pools. You can mass enter these contests. We offer No House Advantage projections and optimal lineups to help you take down the biggest prizes that you can find. It's a pretty nice spot for you, given the amount of free information that we provide at awesomo.com. Again, use that promo code AWESOMO. When you sign up, you'll be able to get a little bit of extra cash. I'm going to hit Adam with a couple props right now. Let's start with, let's find one that's going to be fun. Here we go. Chris Boucher over under 11 and a half points. Yeah, that's a real thing here. Safe under. And you probably really want him to get on the court for a minute if you're going to take that one. But I think we need to skip the Chris Boucher prop on that one, unless they know something that we don't know. That's a truly crazy one.
Yeah, you're just hoping he gets like a minute of blowout run.
Yeah, really crossing the fingers there. How about this one? This one's going to be weird. Steven Adams over under 8.5 rebounds.
That requires knowing how many minutes Steven Adams is going to play.
Yeah. I'll say this all much. Right. The line right now is 6.5. It was one of my recommended bets on the breakfast menu that you guys can watch with myself and Ben Raza.
So if I give Steven Adams 24 minutes, I have him at like 8.5 rebounds.
Okay. There we go. So right on the number.
Which makes me lean over, though, because 24 minutes is a pretty conservative projection.
Desmond Bain over under 11.5 points.
Over.
Yeah. Smash that bad boy. That looks really good to me.
Yeah, that looks really good.
Yeah, so don't be afraid to get there. Don't be afraid to check out everything that we have for No House Advantage at awesomo.com. All righty, what else we got? Why do people think that Chris Boucher is good? I don't get this.
He did put up good numbers, like advanced numbers, I'm pretty sure, the year he played.
Sure. If he were good, Nick Nurse would play him, I promise.
Yeah, it's, I mean, 9 times out of 10, if you're sitting here like, man, especially somebody like Boucher, like it's not like he just was drafted by Toronto and like they haven't used him. Anybody could have had him. Nobody took him. Golden State, I think it was, just let him go for nothing. Like 9 times out of 10, when there's somebody that you think is really good and every organization in the NBA is just like, yeah, this guy sucks, you're wrong. Like that's,
yep.
You don't need to think about it like deeper than that.
No, you do not. No, you do not. Again, he's not young. This is his age 29 season in the NBA. He's not like some 23-year-old project. Golden State Warriors. I want to watch this game. I really needed to not start at 10 o'clock. The Golden State Warriors, 2-point dogs in Phoenix, 221 total. Two of the best teams in basketball right now. Phoenix on a monster win streak. We're going to start on the Golden State side. We got Curry at 10-8 on FanDuel, 11-4 on DraftKings. Not pulling all that much ownership. No one really is. Everybody's either 15% or below, which is pretty minimal on a five-gamer. I like Wiggins for 6,400 on FanDuel. I like Jordan Poole for 6K on FanDuel. What are you going to do with Golden State? No Damian Lee, no Andre Iguodala, and no, there's a third one. Can I get it off the top of my head? I cannot. Oh, no, that was it. Damian Lee and Andre Iguodala. That was good. There's only two. What do you like from Golden State?
I like Steph, obviously. He's expensive, but it's a five-game slate. You don't have quite as much to pay up for. You know, there's no Giannis. There's no Jokic. I would rather get to Steph than get to either of the Brooklyn guys. So I think he looks pretty good if you can find the salary. Obviously, depends how much value opens up elsewhere. But beyond that, you know, Draymond's always fine at 7,200. Poole and Wiggins look okay. Otto Porter's salary came up on DraftKings, which is disappointing because he played 26 minutes last game without Iggy and Lee. I think there's, you know, a pretty good chance you get similar playing time here, although obviously with the way Steve Kerr runs his rotations, that can be Payton or Bielitsa or Toscano Anderson at any given time. But I think most likely guess is that Porter plays a bunch of minutes again. I do think you can take shots in tournaments on Toscano Anderson at 3,500. You know, last game he only played 22 minutes. He did close that game, but you're running the risk that he only plays, you know, 16 minutes or something and it's useless. But at 3,500, if you happen to get a game where he plays well and gets into like 24 minutes, that's potentially a good value. So again, depending on what else opens up tonight, but if you don't get, you know, it's a five game slate, it's entirely possible we just don't get a ton of value anywhere. If that's the case, throwing some shots at Toscano Anderson, I think is fine.
7% owned right now on DK at 3,500. I'm basically just going to play one of four guys for the most part and not be all that interested in them in the grand scheme of things. Rank this group of three players: James Harden, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, James Harden.
And that's for DraftKings, correct?
Yeah, probably. Okay. I mean, I don't know the pricing off the top of my head for FanDuel, but and I know Steph is obviously less valuable.
I think you'll take Harden on FanDuel over Steph, 10K, $800 cheaper.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Okay, just wanted to get that out there because I know that's the question. But really, it's Curry, Wiggins, Green, Poole are the only sort of things that you can legitimately prioritize on this team for today.
Yeah, and I guess I think maybe I did undersell the Brooklyn guys a little bit because of the playing time. Like, if Durant's going to play 45 minutes, then that's one thing. But assuming that you're going to get, you know, 36 to 38 minutes from all three guys, which I think is kind of the assumption that most people are going to go with, then, you know, Curry's at about 1.5 DraftKings points per minute this year. Durant and Harden are both at about 1.36, unless you start getting a big ownership gap, which, you know, right now Steph is at 12%. Harden and Durant are actually higher. I'm leaning Curry. Okay.
We go to the Phoenix side. Again, pretty easy to deal with here. Devin Booker is 21% owned on FanDuel. Highest owned guy on DraftKings is Ayton at 15%. I think Ayton is the best option from Phoenix on DK, but it's just a lot of like 10 to 15% owned similar guys from Phoenix. I think Chris Paul is more interesting to me than Devin Booker on FanDuel. Like, if Booker's 20% owned and Paul is 10, I'm happy to just flip-flop those two guys at similar price tags, at least for this year so far. But again, it's Phoenix. So play some bridges, Booker, Paul, Ayton, Jay Crowder to a lesser degree, maybe a little bit of $3,800 campaign if you're feeling weird, but we kind of know what we do with Phoenix.
Yeah. I did want to check the rotation from last game because I know Payne has been useful in some recent games. It's been tough all season long because you'll get a couple of games where he plays a little bit alongside Paul and then it'll go back to not. Last game he did play, he played quite a bit alongside Paul. They still don't have Abdel Nader, which is a benefit for Payne. So in tournaments, I do actually have some interest there. He played 20 minutes. Paul played 36. So you got, you know, 8 minutes alongside Paul, which obviously not the most productive minutes necessarily for Payne, but if he can get to 20 minutes at 3,800, he's going to look pretty good.
I wish this game started at 7 o'clock so I could watch the whole thing. This is awesome basketball.
You know, you still could. It's a choice you're making.
No, because if I watch this game at 10 o'clock, then I'm going to bed at 12:30, 1 o'clock, something like that. Process show is bright and early at 6:30 a.m., man. I'm going to need a couple more than 3 hours worth of sleep to run through that bad boy. Not fun. Can't do it. I wish that there was like a really easy way to watch a condensed game the moment I wake up. That I'd be in for. Anything else here for Golden State?
Did not have that on League Pass.
Not the way that I'd want it to be. I don't want to miss anything. I'd basically just like 48 straight minutes of action. No, like cut every free throw that doesn't have any action. Every in between play. I want to watch that as quick as possible.
Got it.
Yeah. People understanding that Chris Boucher is 29 is the information we need. We also need to put this Chris Boucher conversation to bed. Detroit at Portland, 9.5-point dogs in Portland, 215 total. For the Pistons tonight, I believe they're just normal. Questionable tag on Frank Jackson. Portland, we don't know the status of Norm Powell, and we probably won't know that for a while. But we'll talk about the Pistons here. Sadiq Bey, highest owned guy across both sites, 34% on FanDuel, 25% on DraftKings. Cade Cunningham is 30% owned on FanDuel, 18% on DK. Jeremy Grant is getting a little bit of love on DraftKings, which I think is fine. Isaiah Stewart is probably the guy that I'm most interested in, at least from a FanDuel perspective. 5K power forward eligible, only 10% owned. Not too much I want to get to other than Grant, Cunningham, Bey, and Stewart.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. One concern I have with Stewart is that he didn't close the last game, and it wasn't, as far as I can tell, foul-related. They just went with Frank Jackson, Sadiq Bey, Grant, Hayes, and Cunningham. The reason I think that's a concern, I mean, well, it's obvious, but you already have – with Stewart, you have the foul risk that sort of lowers his average minute projection. But the thinking with Olynyk out was if he avoids foul trouble, you can count on 30 to 32 minutes. If you have to still contend with them running small lineups at times, especially, you know, in this spot against Portland, where we know Portland is likely to be closing with a small lineup themselves, I think it does – make Stewart riskier. Like, it's really difficult for me to project 30 minutes for Stewart when you have to consider the likelihood of foul trouble plus the fact that there's just a good chance this game closes small.
I gave him 27 minutes. I love that for 5K as a power forward. It's so different as a $4,600 center only on DK.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. You know, like, I wouldn't say I love it. Like, it's still, he kind of is like right around 5X, I think, in terms of projection, but you can just get away with more at power forward than you can in center.
Right. I don't have much else here. I mean, can we take a flyer on Killian Hayes today at no ownership? I don't want to, cause he stinks, but 0.8 fantasy points per minute over the last 30 days.
Yeah. 4,200. He's been playing a bit more. He played 29 minutes last game. As long as he's not getting ownership, I don't mind going to guys like that. It's when their ownership just gets like elevated. But right now he's at 3% on DraftKings. If that holds, give me some Killian Hayes. I just won't watch the game. And that way I don't have to suffer through it. But
I mean, you should really just not watch Pistons Portland no matter what.
That's also true. But yeah, I mean, it's
especially
it's,
with Golden State and Phoenix playing at the exact same time.
Yeah, I just ordered 4 TVs yesterday so that I can start watching both. But
you ordered 4 televisions?
Yeah. So I have my main TV, and then I'm gonna get 2 like stands that hold 2 TVs each and put them on each side of my main TV. So I can have, you know, a few basketball games going, I can have hockey going, and then, you know, whatever. But
porn, you know, in the middle TV.
What?
Porn in the middle TV.
Yeah, obviously. But yeah, no, DraftKings had like 50% off everything in their store. So I got some nice TVs.
Oh, did you use crowns?
Yeah. Yeah. I spent 1.1 million crowns yesterday. But yeah, so anyway, I'm not home though and only have 1 TV here, so I won't be watching the Pistons game. But with Hayes, you're not playing him. You're not looking at this saying, oh man, I think, you know, this is Killian Hayes is like underrated or he's good or I think this he's going to do well here. You're just saying this guy's 4,200. There's not a bunch of good value on this slate. Nobody else is playing him, so I'll take some shots at it.
How long do you think it's going to take for you to pull a Ben Raza and throw your remote through the TV?
I haven't done it yet. I've gotten really good about not throwing things since I moved into my apartment, because my apartment is just like straight windows everywhere and I'm afraid I'm going to break a window. So like prior to moving in there, I was really bad about just like launching my phone and stuff if I was sweating something, but I've stopped doing it because I'm afraid it's going to go out a window.
Well, that's smart. That is smart. That should help you out tremendously there. I cannot believe you just ordered 4 TVs. Hilarious. That'll you're gonna like tell hitting on some broad at the bar and just be like, hey, I got a 5 TV station coming up in the room if you want to go sweat hockey games. She's gonna be like, what? I'm incredibly jealous, and
I obviously want to buy four TVs, but if I told my wife that I bought four TVs, I would not get the best look.
I'm just looking forward to the guy delivering them. Just like, I'm hoping they all show up at once.
What do you need four TVs for, man? Well, technically I needed five, but I already had one. All righty, let's close this one out. Los Angeles Lakers at the Sacramento Kings. Lakers are 4-point favorites, 227 total in Sacramento. We're going to have a lot to talk about for Sacramento. For the Lakers side, it's pretty easy. I'm going to play a ton of Anthony Davis again. I'm really excited to ask you the question of where you rank Anthony Davis with the other studs that we talk about. He is 10-3 on FanDuel, 10-6 on DraftKings, power forward center on both, 11% owned on DK, 22 on FanDuel. We've got Russell Westbrook, 6% owned on FanDuel at 9,600. I'm going to let you know right now, I think that ownership is insane, and I want to have a lot more Russ. He's 2% owned on DK at 10.8. Makes some sense. I don't have a ton of interest in Braun at 10.6 and 10.4, but still a little interested, I guess. Talen Horton-Tucker seems fine for today and unowned. What do we do with this Lakers team against Sacramento? I mean, this is a great fantasy spot.
Yeah, it is a really good spot. So it's just so tough to get to the Lakers when all three guys are in. You know, I think Davis at 10.6 is the first one I'd get to. He's been the best of the three when they're all active. LeBron would be next. Like, you're never really worried about LeBron just disappearing and not playing a role. Yeah. You know, he's obviously always going to, and there's going to be games where he just beats Davis like he did last time out. Westbrook, I think, the most difficult to get to. He's the most expensive on DraftKings. He's also the worst per minute producer of the three when they're all active. The caveat there being this is only a 5-game slate, and getting to somebody like Westbrook at virtually no ownership always carries some appeal. But I still think that the ownership is low enough on guys like Davis and LeBron and Curry and the Nets guys that I'm probably just not going to make my way to Westbrook.
Okay. Well, any thoughts on the $9,600 price for Westbrook on FanDuel at 6% ownership? More appealing?
What did you say?
Russ is $9,600 on FanDuel.
Oh, God.
6% owned.
I mean, FanDuel's the worst site for him, though. Like,
it's true.
The salary kind of makes sense. You don't get the bonuses and you lose a full point every time he turns the ball over.
Yeah.
So in the games he's played with LeBron and with Anthony Davis this year on FanDuel, he has averaged 1.13 FanDuel points per minute in 37 minutes per game. So it's still just kind of like a mediocre price.
Sure. Just feels like there's a ceiling in there at 6% ownership that sort of needs to be unearthed.
Yeah. The thing is too, though, like it's not as risky not having him on FanDuel, because not only does the turnover hurt him, but it's not like, you know, on DraftKings, you always run the risk of suddenly Westbrook just got, you know, the triple double bonus and just added multiple points to his already very high score. On FanDuel, at least that doesn't happen. So he can go triple double, but if he turns the ball over six times, he's still just getting you, you know, 55 points or something, which is fine, but it's not the end of the world, and you're in a really good spot when he gets like 42.
Yeah. Rank AD in comparison to Curry, Harden, and Durant for today.
AD in compared to the other guys at the top. So I think on DraftKings, I think he's behind Curry. He's a little bit less expensive than Harden and Durant, so he might be a little bit easier to get to. But I think I would get to Harden and Durant first.
Okay.
If I can. It really, you know, just kind of comes down to what the rest of the lineup looks like.
I unfortunately will be getting to more Anthony Davis on FanDuel because he has that power forward eligibility, and it just sort of opens up so much more. Find it appealing. We'll see where we end up, though. What about Talen Horton-Tucker here? 5,300 on FanDuel, 4,900 on DraftKings. I got him in for 27 minutes. Just given those positional splits, feels like being 5%-ish owned across both sites is a little low for this spot and this slate.
Who were you talking about?
Stop talking about TVs. Talen Horton-Tucker.
4,900 is – I'm with you. 5% is pretty low just given the fact there's not a lot of value right now. He did play 27 minutes off the bench last game. He's a 0.9 to 1 fantasy point per minute guy on average. So – as long as there's not ownership there, he's kind of in that Killian Hayes bucket. Not comparing him to Killian Hayes, but yeah, you know, as a player, but from a fantasy standpoint, like if there were ownership on Horton Tucker, I kind of would just let it go and look somewhere else. But if people aren't going to go there, then why not? Especially if other value hasn't opened up.
And best positional designation you're going to get on the site too is certainly helpful. I don't have any other interest in the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre's playing more minutes, so that's like mildly tempting, but
yeah,
he's still a center. He's still not like he can still go back to playing 14 minutes at any point, so I don't really like getting there.
All righty, I'm going to need your help on this one. So Rashawn Holmes is back. We have a Q tag on Mo Harkless, and it doesn't look like Harrison Barnes is going to play. And I don't have a clue what to do with this rotation, at least for some of these guys. So Fox is getting ownership, obviously. Halliburton is 6,300 on FanDuel getting ownership. Buddy Hield is 15 to 20%. Rashawn Holmes is 15 to 20%. Those guys, I don't think that we have to hash out all that much. But how many minutes is Marvin Bagley playing today? Is Jimetsi Metu starting again and then not playing the fourth quarter, the first overtime, the second overtime, or the third overtime? I don't really know what to do there. If Mo Harkless doesn't play, if Mo Harkless does play, he's the flat 3K on DraftKings. What do we do with the rest of Sacramento?
Yeah, I think it's really messy. I mean, you got 19 minutes last game from Bagley. Metu started, played 23 minutes. The salaries are cheap enough where figuring this out is useful. I think it's likely that, you know, that you get something like 22 to 24 from Metu, 18 to 20 from Bagley, set of groups that you don't have them together. Neither one should be particularly popular, I don't think, given the...
We don't even have Bagley in the ownership, I don't think.
We have him at 1% on DraftKings.
Oh, do we? I mean, more or less, we don't have him then. Oh, right. Yeah, he's Marvin Bagley the third on our ownership projections. I forgot.
Yeah, so like right now we have Metu at 13% on DraftKings. We have Bagley at 1%. I don't feel strongly at all about either one, but I do feel strongly that Bagley's not a 13-to-1 underdog there. Yeah. So... you know, you can, if you need a contrarian play and you're in that price range, going to Bagley makes some sense, but there's certainly no guarantee he plays a lot of minutes here. It does kind of seem like that he's at least a part of the rotation now, and maybe that you see a little bit more playing time going forward. So I don't mind that in tournaments. It's all a mess though. I mean, Alex Len was in massive foul trouble last game. That gave a bunch more minutes to Tristan Thompson, who ended up playing 22 minutes. The rotation is just an absolute mess. You had Damian Jones in there for 17 minutes. I don't feel confident in the secondary pieces here at all. And whenever that's the case, it's just kind of looking at ownership and taking shots at the lowest owned ones, since I'm not confident in it. And the field may or may not be confident in it, but if they are, they're just overestimating their ability to guess what's going to happen.
I mean, if this ownership holds, Marvin Bagley is the guy you take the shot on, right?
Yeah.
That sucks. All right. Any particular thoughts on Fox, Halliburton, Hield, Holmes, the guys that we don't have to guess about?
I like the salary on Holmes, assuming, he's not on the injury report. So assuming he's, not limited or anything, because it was an eye injury, 6,200 looks good for him. He's been productive this year. He's likely to play around, 30 minutes. So he's the one that stands out. 8,400 for Fox is fine. Any of Halliburton, Hield are fine. Davion Mitchell at 3,900 offers some value, but I think Holmes is the one that stands out for sure.
Damn. That makes sense to me. He grades out as the best guy for me as well. One last thing before we get out of here, since we just closed it all up, do you see David Oakes's question in chat? He's asking you what you mean regarding opportunity cost. So I think that'd be a good question to close on.
Yeah. So on FanDuel, you can only roster one center, excluding guys that are power forward eligible. You can only roster the one center. On DraftKings, you can only roster two, so at most. So there's just fewer center spots to go around, and centers in general are going to be the best per minute fantasy producers. So whenever you're talking about rostering somebody, you have to factor in the opportunity cost, basically the cost of what you're giving up to roster them. So for example, if you have a slate where you have Nikola Jokic, you have Christian Wood, you have Valanciunas, you have Wood, you have Jokic, Vooch. For example. Yeah, Vooch. Vooch is a good one. So Vooch was very obviously a good play. Wood was very obviously a good play. Jokic was very obviously a good play. You can only play a maximum of two of them on DraftKings. You can only play a maximum of one on FanDuel. So the cost of rostering them, it's not just the salary. You have to consider that when you're rostering Jokic, it means you're not rostering one of Vooch or Wood. And that, like, yesterday was a perfect example of that. Jokic went for 56 DraftKings points, which, if you know, you're just looking at that, you're like, okay, that's a good play. He ended up being a terrible play because Vooch and Valanciunas and Wood all beat him at the same position. You just have less roster flexibility, less roster spots there. So you have to consider what you're giving up when you roster one of them. And that's typically why it's just difficult to get to any one center at a really, really high rate, because with other positions, you can roster guys at a really high rate because you can just fit them in easy. You're not giving up that much elsewhere to get to them. But when you talk about the centers, if you're rostering center A, means that you're not able to roster center B, who may be the second best play on the entire slate. It just means that you can't get quite as much of center A because the opportunity cost is high.
There we go. I hope that helps you out, David. Adam, anything else before we get out of here? You're back with Deep Dive and Deeper Dive later today.
Yep.
There it is, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to No House Advantage for being the presenting sponsor. Don't forget to hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. We've got tons of content coming up for the rest of the day. So good luck. Enjoy. We're back again tomorrow doing it all again.